Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you for coming out on this dark first day of daylight savings here in Ohio. If it makes you feel any better, if you're a believer in Fairbanks, Ohio, it'd already be dark and you've had snow on the ground for over a month. So we have it pretty good. What's that? What did I say? Fairbanks, Ohio? Yeah, I'm sorry, Fairbanks. Yeah, I had two cups of coffee before I came, and not even two cups is working. Now, part of me says the most important part of tonight is just going to be reading through our passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. And I think we just look at this, it might be all that we need to really say. I'll point out a few key truths beyond that, but let's just really think through the blessing that the Apostle Paul is writing us here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, different ethnicities, slaves or free, different stations in life, all were made to drink of one Spirit. And here's another key emphasis. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Illustration. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, oh, I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, I don't fit in, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, let's just take that as the whole body was an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? But, look at verse 18. As it is, in reality, God arranged. Who arranged? God arranged the members in the body. Each one of them. As God chose. God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What arrogance that would be. What dismissiveness. On the contrary, here's the economy of grace, right? The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But again, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked, that there may be no division in the body. But in the contrast to the vision, that the members may have the same care for one another. And you say, well, what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? Which is the context. Well, how do we care for one another? And that's the point. He's given us gifts to care. Verse 26, here's life in the body. This is the look of a real body of believers. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, here we have again, God has appointed this. God has done this. He has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Well, obviously not. All prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. All speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way, which is the transition to our study next time, which is on what? Love. Agape. Well, there's our study for tonight. So why do you and I struggle to be dependent on other people in the body? Why do we struggle to be dependent upon others? Why is it so hard to receive from others? Why do we like to be so independent? Any ideas? Okay. Oh, Brock, the culture never affects the American church. That's just other countries. Because Brock says the Americans, no, it does affect us. Very much affects us. And other thoughts. Other thoughts. Why do we struggle to be dependent upon others? Why do we like to be so independent? Talking about in the body of Christ. Bart. It's pride. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with Barb? Dependence sounds like weakness, deficiency. I mean, we take pride and we enjoy our autonomy. But this is where we come to the study tonight. We come to the topic of not independence in the body of Christ, but interdependence in the body of Christ. Interdependence in the body of Christ. And you know what? It's a gift. And so our study tonight is the gift of interdependence in the body of Christ. Is that really a gift, to be interdependent on each other? Yeah, we may not always in our pride see it that way, but that is a gift to make us interdependent on one another. And in many ways, a church is going to be more or less healthy as each individual member sees itself as interdependent. Not the attitude of, well, I'm doing okay, I don't need to get involved. Or, that's not really my problem. And I remember one person said one time, as they were wrestling whether to stay or leave, not this church, but every church, they said, I just had to come to the conclusion that it's just not my responsibility and problem. So I decided to leave. Wow. So, let's start with three truths that we want to look at tonight. We're going to look at the beauty of the gift of interdependence in the body of Christ. We want to look at the lack of interdependence in the body of Christ, which is probably the reason that Paul was writing this to the Corinthians. And then we want to look at the recovery of the interdependence in the body of Christ. And the key point is this. Here is the key truth that Paul is communicating. God himself has designed his church to be a community of complementary interdependence. Similar to the home, but we're talking about the church. So we're talking in the body of Christ. This is how God has designed it, by the way. The text makes it very clear. God decided to do this. We didn't have a choice in the matter. God decided to make us interdependent upon one another, as we're all dependent on the head, Jesus Christ. And in our interdependence, that means that he's going to give us complementary gifts. Not all the same. Different. And so the danger, whenever you have a different gifts, is because pride is involved, is that we put down some and elevate others. Now that clearly was going on in the extreme in the church of Corinth. But to a lesser degree, it can happen in any relationship. And it certainly can happen in a church relationship. Some feel like, I'm the ingrown toenail of the church. What can I offer? Well, at least you're a toenail. The other people say, well, I'm the eyes of the church. You got to have me. And then, of course, everything in between. So God, though, has designed his church to be a community of complementary complementary interdependence. First point we see tonight is this, and this is your first blank. We see the beauty of complementary interdependence in the body of Christ. It's beautiful. Now, we understand in the ancient world, they really were captivated by the human body. And so if you still travel sites that have museums or statues reflecting the ancient thought, you have all these bodies everywhere showing the perfect, ideal body. And Paul here uses this well-known ancient symbolism, this picture of the human body, to show the beauty of the church. Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, individual members of it. So the church does not function as just a collection of separate individuals. We're not split up along party lines. We're much more connected than that, because our connection is living. Now, sometimes people use the word organic, but I just use the word living. We have a living connection. That living connection comes through Jesus. That the church functions as a body. Interconnection, right? So picture yourself, you drank too much coffee, had too much water about 10 o'clock, and you know what happens about 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I'm not going to turn the light on. I know my room quite well. And what happens? Somebody left a drawer open and you stub your toe. Now, does your toe just respond there? No. Oh, perfect. Raise your knee. You speak new languages that you haven't spoken before. You're hopping around. Your whole body reacts together seamlessly. So it's not like certain members of the body decide to like, not my problem. Glad I'm not a toe. At the same time, though, there's a lot of diversity in the body. Toes are very different than ears, and ears are very different from elbows. But that's no hindrance, right? It's no hindrance. That's needed. That is the beauty of complementary independence. Like, the church reflects the wisdom of God. It's the body of Christ. The diversity of the body of Christ isn't a hindrance to unity. It's necessary for unity.
see yourself intricately tied in to the other members of the body of Christ? This demotes pride.
I have it all.
No, there's no one member that has it all. And for those who are like, I have nothing to offer, that's not true. That's your opinion. That's not what God says. It's not what God says. Also, I want you to see that the beauty of interdependence here in our text is based on the idea of each member's indispensability. That's one of those words you have to think about before you say. Indispensability. I'm not saying this. God's saying this. Look at verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, or the hand to the feet. No. What does it say? On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, here's God's view. What is it? Indispensable. Those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we actually, in the economy of grace, we give more honor to. Our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts don't require. You know, it's kind of ridiculous to consider members of the body deciding they don't need one another. Think about sensitive organs of your body making a decision that I don't need the other function. This is something we as Christians need to hear, because we're kind of afraid of being dispensable. We don't want to be used and tossed aside. We always are concerned about whether we fit in. And so much so in our American culture, a lot of people just hop around to different churches until they find the quote-unquote right fit, like they're at the changing rooms at Cabela's. That's where I shop for all my clothes. So. Sorry, ladies. Here's the truth of our text. If you're part of the body of Christ, you are indispensable. And all the other members of the body of Christ are indispensable parts of our lives. God has put us together as a body to display the beauty of the gospel. You say, where does that come in? Where do you see the gospel? Well, that's verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. It was something greater than social position, ethnicity. We all drank of one spirit in the gospel. Now someone may say, why is the church like this? Why is the church so interdependent? That seems like you're saying that God designed it so that the church is only as strong as the weakest link. And that seems to be poor planning. Well, first of all, we're all weak links, all held on by the grip of Jesus Christ, right? So we could talk in that sense. But the reality is, God designed the church this way. That's what he said in verse 24. But God has so composed the body. God did this. And then, of course, verse 18 is so very clear. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body. Each one as he chose. And if you notice the reason for that practically, it's given in verses 25 and 26. God designed the beauty of interdependence in the body of Christ for the goal of mutual care. So it's not just this group always ministering to this group because these are the bummer people of the church and the strong. No, gifts are here and gifts are there. Mutual care. Verse 25, that there be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. And here's some illustrations. One suffers, we all suffer. One's honored, we all rejoice together. And this is because of that living interdependence upon one another. We experience the joys of the body as a unit, the pains of the body as a unit. Maybe you have gone through this. Maybe the best illustration is when your lower back goes out. You would like to think that, well, it's just my lower back. I have lots of other parts. Does it work that way? If your lower back goes out? No. It doesn't. I mean, everything gets messed up. And I mean everything. I won't go into any more detail. Ask me afterwards. So mutual care. And here in our text, that mutual care among the beauty of interdependence in the body of Christ is expressed by using, and this takes us back to our big point in these verses, through using grace gifts. That's verses 27 and 28. We're not going through these gifts as such. I just want you to see that this is why God has given a diversity in the body. And God's the one that does that. He's appointed again. Just in the same way He's made the body to interdependently care for one another and serve one another, He's therefore the one that appointed grace gifts to be used for mutual care. Why don't we see churches, including ours, functioning this way? Why don't we always see churches, including ours, functioning this way? Any thoughts or comments or even questions? I think if we did function in this way, I think there would be a continual refreshment compelling the truth of the gospel. So we have to reject the truth that we're a club. No, we're the living body of Christ. So let's move now to number two, the lack of interdependence in the body of Christ. The lack of interdependence in the body of Christ. If the Bible lays out this beautiful picture using the body as an interdependent, complementary community of God's grace, why is it then that the church sometimes becomes, on one side, a place of one extreme would be like celebrityism, and then on the other side, a place that there's conflict and backbiting? And I always hear these stories about any church named Harmony. It's like they have the worst conflicts ever. So let's never change our name to Harmony Bible Church, because I'd be like, uh-oh, let's knock on wood here. I'm a little nervous about that. But why is it sometimes the church becomes a place of conflict and hostility? Well, we see in our text here that a lack of interdependence may be because sometimes we view people as commodities that we can dispense of. They're dispendable. Well, we'll just cut our losses. Happens. They're disposable. They're replaceable. Kind of the American way, right? We don't fix anything. Too much work. Just buy a new one. And then sometimes this is bolstered in a congregation by some saying, well, I am indispensable, of course, but they are disposable. And in almost kind of a cutthroat business principle becomes elevated rather than a thought of mutual service of one another. And the reason this becomes the norm in our thinking sometimes is because we fail to realize the necessity of diversity. Not only is it a necessity, it's a beautiful gift. This is the point of those questions in verses 29 and 30, if you look there again. The point of him asking each question, which really begs the same question or the same answer. Of course not. Of course not. Of course, you can't have everybody with the same gifts. Of course not. And the point that Paul's trying to convince us is that the body of Christ is incomplete unless its members operate by the thought that we are, by the grace of God, interdependent on one another as we all look to Christ. And the thought behind that is that God, whereas we know from the Scriptures, he has given every member grace gifts. Every single one of us. We have gifts of grace from the Lord. But he has not given to any one individual all the grace gifts except the Lord Jesus. And last time I checked, I'm not Jesus, and you're not either. And so this is why he put us together in beautiful interdependence on each other. Now, I do know that certain gifts are more visible up front, but that doesn't mean they're not complete without the service and gifts of others. And to the extent that we fail to see the necessity of diversity in the gifts in the body, that is the extent to which we'll view others as dispensable. And thus, God's design will be missed. And when God's design is missed or even purposefully overlooked, we have bodies that really are more like self-compositions. We are putting ourselves together with this new strategy that we're going to impose on the church. And you're like, that sounds familiar. I thought I watched a special on the founding of Amazon, and it sounds very similar to that. But see, we're not Amazon. Even though that was a pretty genius invention. You remember back when they just sold books when they got started? Wow. But see, we're not that. We're much better than a business or Amazon or some political party and so forth, because we are the living body of Christ. And see, rather than seeing God as the composer of the body and the appointer of gifts, many do this. I don't need you. You don't really need me. If you needed me, if I thought you needed me, then I would have to get involved. And if I needed you, we would have to really be open with one another. But see, that's where we think wrongly. If I get rid of this and I go like, I welcome you, we think that that shows weakness, but that's actually the beauty of what God designed. By another thing, a lack of interdependence is sometimes because of a self-focus and a self-care. That's mentioned in verses 14 through 19. A body doesn't consist of one member, but many. A foot can't be dissing other parts of the body. And the ear shouldn't be talking down to itself that it's useless because it's an ear and not an eye, and it wanted to be an eye. And therefore, because I'm not an eye, and I wanted to be an eye, I don't belong to the body. See, the Bible knows what it's talking about. The Bible knows that there's going to be overt pride on one side. I'm superior in my gifts. But the Bible knows there's going to be covert pride on the other side, right? That's going to say, oh, I'm Eeyore. What do they need me for? And so the Bible, reflective of God's nature, knows how to take that kind of attitude on to keep us from being rebellious body parts. Nobody likes rebellious body parts, right? It happens sometimes, but they mess things up. I was grilling out some steaks for my father-in-law's birthday on Friday night, and I noticed an ambulance came up to one of my neighbor's yards, so I walked over there, and the cleaning lady was there and had me come in, and poor Chuck had broken his ankle really bad, and it was in a way it shouldn't be going. So they had five firefighters in there picking Chuck up, but you know, if they touched his shoulders, oh, he would cry out. It was so much pain. They touched this part, you can just tell it was miserable, anything. So the thought is, when we have body parts that are unwilling to function in a right way, when they're more concerned about self-care and self-protection than mutual care, then we really lose the beautiful interdependence that God intends. And by the way, as we're learning from the book of Titus, this is a loss of a very beautiful gospel witness. Now, I'm not preaching on this passage because I think this is some huge problem in our church. We're probably like any other congregation. We struggle with things like this. And I'm happy to tell you that as I talk to new folks coming in, they can say they can't always express it. And I don't know if we can either. But they can tell there's something different here. There's not turf wars and jockeying for position. There's the brokenness of sin and the humbleness of us needing to look to Christ and just serving one another. So I think we can be encouraged about this. But we can even flourish in this more and more. We don't want to mirror the culture. And I think you'll see why as we conclude with the third part, the recovery of independence in the body of Christ. The recovery. Now, to really wrap up tonight, I want us to explore mainly this phrase in verse 12. That we might overlook or just skip by pretty quick. For just as the body is one in many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one. Notice this. So it is with Christ. So the recovery of interdependence in the body of Christ comes with the recovery of anything else. Returning to Christ. And so the first thing I want you to notice is that humble interdependence can be recovered when we look to Christ. And how did Christ view us? He could have viewed us as sinners, as dispensable. But in his gospel redemptive work, he treated us as though we were indispensable. As a matter of fact, we could go a little further and say that the indispensable one became dispensable in our place in the gospel. So the imagery of the body is not generic for a body. We're talking specifically about the body of Christ himself. That the health of the body, the future of the body, is wrapped up with its head, Jesus Christ. And every individual sinner incorporated into the body of Christ has been done so as a gift of his kindness, that not one of us has earned his way into the body of Christ. And so I can tell you this. Even if you think, because of your situation, you're dispensable to the body of Christ, and you can just throw up your hands, Jesus disagrees with you, doesn't he? You know he does. He declared in the gospel that you weren't. And he said that by saying that the most presentable part, that is the head of the Christ, that is the head of the body, Christ, was willingly dishonored so that the least presentable parts, you and I, might receive honor in the gospel. The strongest member, the head, Jesus Christ, was made weak and dispensable in order that the weaker members, you and I, might be considered indispensable because of our eternal living union with Christ. And see, this is how the love of Christ actually transforms our way of thinking, our reality, and this is our new view in the gospel. Now, secondly, as we talk about the body being so it is with Jesus Christ, interdependence and the concept of interdependence in the body can be recovered because Christ actually saves us as sinners from this lie that we create ourselves and we create our gifts. That's not what our text says. The passage is very clear that we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. Here we're his composition. He has made us a part of his body, and he's put us just where we belong. And this is in contrast to we always have to do enough and fit our idea and our mold if we think we're going to be valuable. It's kind of like the pressure of a dating relationship. Well, I got to put on my best foot. I'm not saying be a slob after you're married. That's not what I'm saying. But when you're dating, you don't want to do anything to scare the other person away. I don't know exactly how they feel about me. I got to bring the best to the table. That's why, if you're dating, that's why they say never eat spaghetti on a date. Because I have tried many times to eat spaghetti with a white shirt. Does that ever work? No, never does. At least it doesn't for me. But why I'm bringing that up is Christ is bringing his best to the table. Our best isn't that great. And the truth is, we're in this covenant relationship of grace. And this is not a consumer and vendor relationship. And we're not always in reference to Christ in this, I hope I've done enough, I'm kind of insecure, and I'm always a little nervous kind of relationship. Here's the truth. Because Christians have been united to Christ's body as a gift, as grace, reflecting his power and his patience, we submit to the fact that we are his creation. We don't have to worry about being self-created, self-composed people. We don't have to distinguish ourselves in the body of Christ or compete for a higher position. This is left to the Lord. Our position in Christ, in the body of Christ, has been secure, and our identity is connected to Christ and by Christ, and you and I are in the body of Christ. That's his choice. We're glad for that choice. It's a gift of his grace. And this brings us to our final thought. Interdependence in the body of Christ can be restored because Christ cares for sinners by making them interdependent members of his body. When we mutually care for one another. All we're doing is reflecting the perfect care of Jesus. Jesus Christ completely gave up himself and his self-protection and his self-care in order to care for us. When his Spirit is in our hearts, we are submitted to his Spirit. That is what we want to do to other people. We want to care for them. And this is why he's given us gifts. This is why, also, the work of Christ makes us very concerned about other people in the body of Christ. No more academic consideration. Second to the image of the church as a body is the church is a what? It's a family. And that's the spirit that the Lord would have us to have. And it works, it fits perfectly because anyone who has experienced the self-giving love of Jesus Christ, the ultimate grace gift, empowered by him, can use his great gifts as a conduit to express that same self-giving love to one another. And so it makes sense, therefore, at this point in the discussion of gifts, why Paul turns now to a whole chapter, the best chapter, the most beautiful chapter of the Bible, on the nature of Christian love. And that's what we'll look at next year. Because we have so many things planned. Pastor Michael is not here, right? Yeah. So I think we're tentatively talking about, this is a tentative talk between like Pastor Eric and I, just trying to figure out dates and Hannah and stuff. Like, I think this maybe the 19th of December in the evening. We'll talk about this at the elders meeting. Maybe the time to have like a going away for Pastor Michael. That's as far as we got. We can do that. Any questions or thoughts as we wrap up our study tonight? Questions or thoughts? Do you feel like you have a good handle on what the apostle is saying to us? It's pretty beautiful when you see all these things fall into place. Mm-hmm. Speak up a little bit. Yeah. Tyler? Yeah. Right. Yeah. You've heard of that book, maybe the vine and the trellis. Trellis and the vine. Like a trellis is that thing that a vine grows on. It's a structure, and the vine is kind of, don't know exactly how it's going to go. So we're trying here as leaders to like have a few structure trellises and then allow God's people just to grow and blossom and serve, use their gifts. There's always that delicate balance, too much or too little. But thank you for that. Anybody else? Any of our elders want to say something? Share your heart. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I was supposed to cut it off at 30, because so I don't have to deal with that. So my note here by R.C. Sproul, and of course since he's dead, he's right, is the meaning of this sentence is disputed. So now maybe we'll talk about that next time. Dave? Okay. Good. Great answer. Yeah, great answer. Kudos to you, Dave. Jeff? Yeah. Right. Very good. And so we're gonna spend a lot of time in chapter 13. We are. And there's warrant for that, of course. Okay, wonderful. Hey, I hope you have a great week. Remember, Wednesday we have a lot going on with packing the boxes, and then prayer meeting and shepherd group prayer starts back up this Wednesday as well. We haven't done that in a while. I was supposed to announce too. Next Saturday is the school is doing turkey trot here at the church at 9 o'clock, Becca. Okay, 9 o'clock. So you can come and exercise and pay money. That's basically it, right? Support the school. Somebody want to talk up turkey trot? Seniors. Now here's a senior. You're coming to run turkey trot, right? Okay. So, take the spot of Ashley and Comfort. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we could be together as the body of Christ. And, Lord, we recognize tonight that you're the one that designed the beauty and necessity of complementary interdependence. And, Lord, I hope that we'll be able to apply this in our lives even this week. Help those who are been saved for a while and feel maybe a great settledness to see that they greatly need others. And I pray that we would all be willing to receive and to give. And thank you for Christ to really set the pace of a humility and a giving and a sacrifice and a death to self to serve others. And Lord, I thank you that you made yourself nothing in the eyes of the world in order to become our eternal, perfect, sinless, righteous sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Blessings to you.